We are continuing our sermon series on the book of Colossians, presenting everyone mature in Christ. And this morning we are looking at chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. Growing up or growing older. So if you may just turn in your Bible to Colossians chapter 2. Verses 1 to 7. Not too long ago, the New Straits Times reported that road users risked their lives and their limbs to pick up coins that were strewn over the highway when a four-wheel drive vehicle transporting about 70,000 Malaysian ringgit in coins when that vehicle overturned at KM kilometer 244 off the north-south highway near Rembau, Negeri Sembilan. So I've heard a slide on some of those people who were picking up coins. And the coins were being distributed by a company in Shah Alam to several shopping outlets in Malacca. And but somehow the vehicle that was transporting this coin spilled some of these coins, a lot of these coins on the highway. And road users, including women, totally ignored police officers as they ran all over the highway to pick up the coins. And they were seen frantically picking up 10 cent, 20 cent, and 50 cent coins, and putting them into plastic bags, the pockets, and even the helmets. And some were even seen sitting alongside the road, the highway, picking up the coins, oblivious to the driver of the vehicle who is in desperate mode, and though he had escaped with just some minor injuries. You know, when I look at this picture, a few words came to mind, and as I read the report, and I saw this picture on the front page of the New Straits Times, a few words came to my mind. Greed, crazy, embarrassing, cheapskate, after all, is only coins, a Malaysian cents, S-E-N-S, not $50 or $100 notes, just Malaysian coins. But the word that probably best describes the action is this: immaturity. For they were behaving like little children, grown-up adults behaving like little children, risking their life and limb, picking up cheapskate coins on the highway, ignoring the police and the driver of the overturned vehicle. How more immature can people get? You see, brothers and sisters, there is a built-in expectation in life. When we reach a certain age, we begin to behave in a more appropriate manner. We call this maturity. Those who continue to act like children when they are already adults are an embarrassment to themselves and, of course, to others. And this is also true for Christians. When you have been a Christian for a period of time, it is expected that you will advance from the early days of faith. It is expected that there is a new depth and maturity in your spiritual life. So in our text for today, Paul shares with us the marks of spiritually mature Christians and churches. So let's stand as we read the Word of God together. Colossians chapter 2, we read from verse 1 to verse 7. Colossians chapter 2, reading from verse 1. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you receive Christ the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, this morning as we listen to your word, we ask that your Holy Spirit will come and speak to us specifically concerning areas in our life where we need to grow up. May your Holy Spirit clear away the blockages and hindrances in our life that are preventing us from growing spiritually. And so now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. In Christ's name, amen. Brothers and sisters, it's so important that you and I understand what spiritual maturity is. Salvation, as important as it is just the first step in a lifelong process of spiritual growth. We must go on from that first step. Once we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, we opened the door for the Holy Spirit to begin working in our hearts and to be transforming us to become more like Christ. And this transformation process is not always comfortable. It may mean giving up certain things or certain relationships in our lives that we would rather hang on to. But we can be sure that through this growth process, the marks of spiritual maturity will gradually become more visible in our lives. In other words, we grow up. And we don't just grow older. So what are the marks of spiritual maturity? Firstly, encouraged in heart. Let me read verse 1 to 2a. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged. Remember, this is one of your questions in your CG groups. Why did Paul struggle with people he did not know in Laodicea? I think this is something that you and I must always remember, that our mission is not only to reach out to people we know, but especially to people we do not know, those who are not yet believers. Here, the Word of God teaches us that our heart is very important in our daily living. It doesn't matter what we say if our hearts are far from God. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 advises us to keep our heart with all diligence. Why? Because from it flow the springs of life. Then in Psalm 119, verse 11, the psalmist says, I have stored up your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. And Jeremiah 17 verses 9 to 10 reminds us that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick or wicked. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. And then in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, Paul says that God will strengthen us with power through his Holy Spirit in our inner being, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. See, brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter what's going on out there in the world, coronavirus or anything else, but if our hearts are strong in God's grace, we can handle any situation. And the word translated encourage, back it to Colossians chapter 1, verse 2, the word encourage there is a compound word in the Greek, parakaleo, to call alongside. That means somebody is beside you, alongside you, to encourage you. And this word is always used in a sense of enabling someone to meet a very difficult situation in life, with confidence and strength. One of the indications of mature faith that there is strength even when the going is tough, even when it is very difficult. And of course, this reminds me of the words of the prophet Habakkuk, Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 to 19. The prophet said, though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be out from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. You see, Habakkuk the prophet was determined to hang on despite the most difficult circumstances that he and the nation of Israel were going through. The reason is because of his confidence in God. He can hang on. He knew that God is more than sufficient to meet every need. Perhaps there are some listening on to this sermon this morning who are going through a difficult period in your life right now because of the pandemic. Some of you right now are facing serious physical, relational, perhaps professional, financial struggles. Perhaps you are going through a deep spiritual struggle right now. You may be weary, but the Lord is strong. The Lord knows what He is doing. Trust Him. Be encouraged in your heart. So that's the first sign of spiritual maturity, encouraged in heart. Then secondly, united in love. Let me read verse 2, the second part of it. Being knitted together in love to reach all the full riches of a full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ. You see, the body of Christ is joined together with spiritual ligaments and tendons, and a mature church refuses to allow differences to tear us apart. A strong church refuses to allow anything to rip out those very strong binding tendons. This doesn't mean there aren't problems among Christians, and considering our strong wills, we all think we are right about almost every most things, and we need a heavy dose of humility and the Spirit of God to keep the love flowing among us. Diversity strengthens a church only if mutual love unites it. And without such love, diversity will divide and destroy the church every time conflicts erupt. And this unity of love will protect us from becoming prisoners to ourselves, our pet topics, our pet doctrines, our pet programs, our pet methods. Love will also keep us from using the faults and the errors and the excesses of other believers to excuse our own. So let me encourage those among us who are CG leaders to lead strongly, to unite in love your CG members, especially during this very challenging season. Unite your CG members in love through Bible study and through prayer. And this past several weeks, I thank God that I have the opportunity to join some of your CGs online, and it's so encouraging to see many of you in your CGs studying the Word of God together and praying together. During World War II, Adolf Hitler commanded all religious groups in Germany to unite so that he could control them. Of course, he has an ulterior motive. He called all those religious groups to unite so that he could control them, you know, being a dictator. And among the Brethren assemblies in Germany, half of them complied with Adolf Hitler and half refused. And those who went along with the decree of the dictator had a much easier time. But those who did not faced very harsh persecution. And in almost every family in Germany of those who resisted, someone died in a concentration labor camp. And when the war was over, feelings of bitterness ran deep between the two groups, and there was much tension. Finally, they decided that the situation had to be healed. And so leaders from each of the two groups met at a quiet retreat. For several days, each person spent time in prayer, examining his own heart in the light of Christ's commands. And then they came together after several days. And Francis Schaeffer, who told of this incident, asked a friend who was there, "What did you do then?" And this is what his friend replied, "We were just one. And as we confess our hostility and bitterness to God and yielded to his control, the Holy Spirit created a spirit of unity among us. Love filled our hearts and dissolved our hatred and bitterness." You see, brothers and sisters, when love prevails among believers, especially in times of strong disagreement, it presents to the world an indisputable mark of a true follower of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that is the second mark of maturity. We must be united in love. And then thirdly, mature in understanding. Verses 2 to 4. Let me read verses 2 to 4 again. "That their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ." See, the word understanding denotes that what is needed here is more than just an increase in factual information. We need to know why those facts are important. Facts are important, but why they are important is more important, and how these facts relate to our life. So that's understanding. And notice that it is not just any facts that we should be seeking. We should be seeking a mature knowledge of Christ. Many Christians make a decision for Christ. They learn some spiritual lingo, so now they talk like believers. They know enough to fit in, but then they became complacent. They think that's all they need to learn. They have become spiritually proud. Now, the story is told that the Greek philosopher Socrates had a student once come to him while he was kneeling by a stream. And the student asked Socrates, "What is truth? What is truth, sir?" And without hesitation, Socrates grabbed the student by his neck and held his head under the water until the boy began to struggle. And then he pulled him up, and Socrates answered the boy, "When you want knowledge the way you just wanted air, then you shall have it." See, brothers and sisters, do you and I have the same hunger to know Jesus Christ and his ways? Like when our head is under the water, we are so desperate we needed air. Do we want Christ that same manner? It is so important that we are mature in understanding, or else we miss out on knowing Jesus Christ as a person, not merely as a doctrine, but as a person. Why is it so important for us to know Jesus personally? I believe you answered this question in your CG. Why is it so important for us to know Jesus Christ? Verse 3 gives us the answer. Because in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Because when we know Jesus personally, then we will have wisdom and knowledge, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It's not about knowing Jesus in our head, some head knowledge about him. It is knowing Jesus as the most important person in our lives, that he is our Lord. In practical terms, it means allowing the Lord Jesus to lift out his purposes in our lives. You see, when we miss these hidden treasures of wisdom and knowledge in Christ, we can be very easily led astray by some false teaching. So Paul was concerned that the Colossian Christians be not deceived by some plausible or fine-sounding arguments. Verse 4. And the word for deceive here literally means to reason alongside. It's a compound word, para, alongside, logisomai, logic, reasoning. So the word delude or to deceive means to reason alongside something. So if the target is the truth, there is something alongside it that looks very much like the truth, but it is not the truth. It is counterfeit, and we must watch out for that. This is one of the favorite weapons of the devil. He will present to us something that looks so alike the truth, but it is not the truth. It is counterfeit. To be deceived is to think that we know that something is right, but it is really wrong. Truth and error are almost the same, but one is the counterfeit. And in these days, when we have so many counterfeits and imitations around, we are so used to being deceived, and we do not feel alarmed anymore. And for example, plastics look like metal, flowers are made of silk. We are daily touching things that are not real, but actually imitations. But imitations has obvious limitations. If we start regarding the imitations as real, then we are in trouble. And that is what Paul is worried about. That is why he's so concerned that we should be careful of plausible arguments, that we be not deluded, that we grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, any brand of Christianity without focusing on Jesus Christ is not the real thing. It is a counterfeit. And by the look of it, there are many counterfeit brands of Christianity around us today in our modern world. That is why the title for my next week's sermon is Beware of Imitation. So we'll look out for that for next week. So the third mark of spiritual maturity is that we must be mature in our understanding and not be deceived or deluded by plausible arguments. The fourth mark is discipline. We must be disciplined in faith. Verse 5. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. You see, Paul was delighted to see how orderly the Colossian Christians were and how firm their faith in Christ was. And here Paul was using some military terms. Together they picture a disciplined military unit. We can picture in our mind a parade ground with soldiers marching in formation. This is a result of very careful, rigorous, constant training and drilling. They were marching in formation according to the orders of the superior. You see, Paul sees the Colossians like this. They have arrived at a measure of maturity because of their attention to godly discipline and training. Now, sometimes it is helpful to understand a concept by stating things in the opposite. So the opposite of being orderly and firm in our faith would be haphazard, undependable, impulsive, and flabby. So which terms best describe your Christian walk at this moment in your life right now? Disciplined or haphazard? Firm or shaky? Some of us have been ordered by our doctor, for example, to exercise regularly and consistently in order to stay healthy, keep the cholesterol level down, make sure the blood pressure stays low, and so on. And so what do? We start an exercise program to jog 3 times a week, or to walk, to do brisk walking 3 times a week. First month, we were very intense. Second month, we skipped a few days. By the third month, we have become so inconsistent that whatever exercise we do is of little use. Do we see that this is similar to our spiritual disciplines? We may be very intense for a period of time and feel the wonderful sense of God's presence. And then we allow different things in our life to distract us. We miss our devotion here and there. We skip a prayer meeting here and there. And we sleep in on Sunday morning because we had a late Saturday night. Slowly but surely, our spiritual life begins to dry up. We become irritable. We become mere spectators during Sunday worship. You see, the mature Christian makes certain spiritual disciplines top priorities. Daily devotion, Sunday worship, corporate prayer, CGs, Christian service. Brothers and sisters, you and I must eliminate haphazard faith. Be disciplined to make spiritual progress in our Christian life and in our Christian service. Spiritual growth doesn't happen automatically. You have to plan for it. You have to make it your top priority so that it will become a reality. And then finally, another mark for spiritual maturity is we must keep growing in Christ. Verses 6 to 7. Let me read verses 6 to 7. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. I have a picture here of verses 6 and 7 to help us understanding, deeply rooted in Christ and growing up into a luscious tree. And I want you to notice the sequence. First, Paul assumes that we have a relationship with Christ. He says, just as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord. So things must be done in a certain order. You cannot live a mature Christian life until you first come to Christ, as He's the only one who can cleanse us from our sin and infuse life into us. But once we have received Christ, notice, it's not only as Savior, but Christ as Lord. And this is very important. It's not only receiving Him as Savior, but receiving Him as Lord. That means we must follow His bidding for our life. It is a package deal. This means that we live by His example, we follow His commands, His mission for our lives. It means we change. And the true test of the genuineness of a person's confession of faith is the life he or she lives. I'm not saying that we will be perfect. This side of heaven, we will never be perfect until we get to heaven, but we must be mature. We should not say we follow Christ with our mouth and yet deny Him in our living. It is not enough to know a lot about Christ. We must apply what we know about Him and about His ways into how you and I live and how we serve. So just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, Paul says, continue to live in Him, to walk in Him, obey Him, follow Him, converse with Him, draw upon His grace, lean on Him, look to Him for comfort. This is how we are to continue to live in Him. And 3 things have to happen, Paul says. First, we must be rooted in Him. Like a deeply rooted tree, sinking deep down, we have been planted in Christ. And those strong roots in Him will hold us up in the most severe storm of life. Secondly, we have been built up in Him. Not only are the roots growing deep, but we are growing upward as well. We are increasing in our faith and in our experience. And then thirdly, we have been established in the faith. You have tested it, put it to work in your home, in your neighborhood, and you will have to face difficult challenges in life, which are tests. And in spite of those challenges, your faith have been strengthened. Just 2 days ago, I visited one CG online, and I was very encouraged that a couple of them who had a very a boy with special needs in the family, and despite the challenges, their faith in God has grown stronger. This is what Paul means here: established in the faith, despite the most difficult challenges in our life. And I was so encouraged to hear that testimony. And as those three things take shape, we are to add one more. We are to be abounding in thanksgiving. Verse 7. Be grateful to God for everything that He has given you, no matter what it is. And the couple that I shared earlier on at the online CG meeting, they were so thankful to God, despite the many medical conditions that the child with special needs has. They were so thankful to God for answering many of their prayers, despite the many challenges, abounding in thanksgiving. You and I must learn to abound in thanksgiving in everything. That means we do not grumble, we do not complain and criticize, because those two things cannot go together. If you are grateful to God and the church, we cannot be grumbling and complaining at the same time. You see, to be truly thankful means to find something in every situation, yes, even the most difficult challenges in life. And in those situations, we can still be genuinely grateful, even in the disappointments of life. Allow me to share with you the experience of Bible commentator Matthew Henry. He's one of those who wrote a very devotional commentary. And on one occasion, he was robbed. He was robbed of some money. And the thieves took everything of value that he had. So later that evening, back home, as he was journaling, he wrote down in his journal this verse, and I quote, this is what he said: "I am thankful, Lord, that during all these years, I have never been robbed before until today. Also, even though they took my money, they did not take my life. And although they took all that I had, it was not much. And finally, Lord, I'm grateful that I was robbed. I was the one who was robbed and not the one who robbed." So here was a man who had learned how to be overflowing with thankfulness. Brothers and sisters, as we come to the close of our sermon this morning, how are we measuring up to these five marks of spiritual maturity? How are we measuring up as a church? You know, as you listen to these five marks of maturity, you may feel you are doing pretty well in a couple of those areas. If so, I commend you. However, we need to remember that these things are a package. If we are weak in just one area, that will be the area that the devil will use to attack us. So we must be guarded on all fronts. Are you encouraged in heart? Do you need to trust God more in every life situation, especially the most challenging ones? Are we united in love? Do we need to work on being more loving? Is there a family member or a friend you need to restore a broken relationship with? Is there a brother or a sister in church you need to start things out and ask for forgiveness and release forgiveness? Are you growing in your understanding of who Jesus Christ is? Are you relating intimately with him as your Savior and Lord? Are you living your life to honor him? Are you disciplined and firm in your faith? How are your spiritual disciplines? Are you making priorities to grow as a Christian? Or are you just floating along, being distracted with so many other things that you don't have time for spiritual disciplines? And then finally, are you growing up in Christ? Brothers and sisters, let us renew our commitment to spiritual growth in Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, in your sovereign wisdom, you have allowed us to go through different life circumstances to help us to grow up in maturity. Thank you for the people that you bring along into our lives to help us grow. And most of all, we thank you for your indwelling Holy Spirit, who is our teacher as we study your word, to make us more and more like our Lord Jesus Christ. And now may God's people receive his benediction. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who love us and by his grace give us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Amen.